Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Dammit. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel. And joining me in studio is a pioneer in the mediumship world. I am so grateful she's come all the way from the UK. Mavis Patilla is, I would say, one of the... How do I put this? We were just talking, you're like the Oprah of the UK, in the sense that you are a longtime veteran of this work, and it's important to you to get the word out about mediumship and soul mediumship, so thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be here. And yes, you're quite correct. I love the soul mediumship, and I love the opportunity to talk to anyone who wants to listen to me about mediumship, sensitivity, intuition, the psyche, because we're all, everyone who lives on this earth has got that potential. Mm-hmm. Not that they'll fulfill it mediumistically, but they will fulfill it soul awareness. Mm-hmm. And I think that is growing and is becoming very, very important to people now.
Now, it is growing, but do you think that, Mavis, there's a worry that maybe too many people are trying to claim that they have this gift because they had a good night at a party? Now they want to hang a shingle, start a business. There's a lot of work and responsibility that goes into this, isn't there?
Absolutely. It's a vocation.
Yes.
It's a dedication. It's a life of loving, a life of loving the soul and loving the spirit world and loving human beings.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. And I do agree with you. We have a lot of people at the moment that perhaps are sensitive and intuitive and perhaps a little psychic that are attaching the label mediumship to that.
And mediumship, for the listener, is the other side. You're seeing spirits on the other side of the veil.
Yeah, you are talking to them. Mm-hmm. And you're quite right. It is like lifting a veil and seeing the other world, which is, of course, as real as this one for people like me.
So for people like you, you've had this gift since the age of what?
Oh, I've had it all my life. It's a genetic gift. So it's a genetic ability, really. So you can have it all your life, but it starts to evolve at certain aspects of your life. So some people can have it from childhood. Some people can have it when there is a bereavement in family. And some people like me can have a near-death experience, or I was 3 months from going to the spirit world, when the soul opens and then allows us to see very clearly the other world. But it is all within the soul before actually their birth. But it's the time slot, you know, that we've got to consider, that it will open for children, and then it will open for young adults, and then it will open for others at middle age. And we can't really ever put a time slot on it.
Yeah.
It will open when the soul is ready, not when the conscious mind is ready.
And so, having interviewed many people who've had near-death experiences and they come back with heightened, as we say, spidey senses, if you will, you had the gift prior to your near-death experience and then better afterwards? Or explain that to the listeners.
Well, I didn't have it at all.
Okay.
It's genetic, so it's in the family.
And so how old were you when you had your near-death experience?
Oh, well, I'd been given 3 months to live. That's what happened to me. I was about 27. And I was sat at home one sunny day, as bright as today, and I saw a gentleman. He appeared from nowhere. No smoke, no wings, no trumpet sounding. He just appeared, and he told me to go and find a healer, or I wouldn't hear the New Year bells. And he was confirming that I was about to depart this world, but they weren't ready for me in the spirit world. So from that point, then I started to see the spirit world all the time. So, for instance, you'd come into my home and I'd say, oh, you can't sit there. My grandmother's there. She'd been dead 40 years, you know. But I'd say, oh, you can't do that. Watch the cat. And the cat, you know, had been dead since I was a teenager.
Right.
So at the beginning, when you get it sometimes, you don't control it. You know, it's out of your control.
And it took you a while to learn to control it.
Oh, absolutely.
Was that from going to the Finley or studying? Tell me about your path and learning to control your gift.
Well, I met a wonderful, wonderful, magical medium called Gordon Higginson. Mm-hmm. He was the president of the Spiritualist National Union. He was the president of his own church. Mm-hmm. He was the chairman of the Arthur Findlay College, which, of course, is the school for psychic study in mediumship in the UK. Mm-hmm. And he took me under his wing, and he sorted me out slowly but surely, because I'd say something to him and his eyebrow would raise and he'd say, "Really?" When I got it wrong, I always got "really." And I think I've carried that on because I still say that to my students.
Do you? Really?
Yes. Really.
And when you're teaching, because I know that teaching is really important to you, and when you're teaching others about how to use their gifts, are you asking them how they get the information, or are you going to teach them your way? Is it possible, right, with the symbols, like I see the C and the E and, you know, with the evidential mediumship? Mm. Some people try to teach their way, and then others say, all right, well, tell me what's happening for you. I hear you're hearing it, you're clairaudient, you're clairsentient, you're claircognizant. Let's work with what you have. What is your process when you teach?
I think, first of all, that every teacher, they can only give you their opinion.
I see.
Of how you are going to evolve. So the helpfulness is, well, I can see you using your clairvoyance, but it would be wise now to feel more the presence of the spirit. Mm-hmm. You see, for me, to feel the presence of the spirit is what mediumship is all about. Mm-hmm. So when you feel the presence of the spirit, the clairsentience opens, and then the other faculties will naturally unfold along with those. So really, you can't just use one aspect. Mm-hmm. You've got to use all the faculties of the soul. And of course, all the faculties are within the soul. Mm-hmm. And you have to actually investigate all of them, because in the spirit world, of course, you've got people that were not capable of hugging people. Mm-hmm. So they won't be able to use the clairsentience very well.
Right.
Some people are not good at talking. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be able to use your clairaudience. So there are other people that are not good visionaries. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to find another aspect of you that gives them the identification that they live. Mm-hmm. So we need to unfold all the aspects, not just one.
Fantastic.
But for me, the most important one is the presence of the spirit, that the spirit world can feel that they're once again in the company strongly with their family member.
Fantastic. So if you have someone sitting with you, and if you're doing a reading, do you prefer to do one-on-ones? I know you love the gallery. Do you ever do one-on-ones anymore? Or is that something that you've evolved out of and prefer the gallery larger way of working?
Wherever I'm called by the spirit, really, I suppose would be a good way to put it, because I love every aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I don't do many one-to-ones anymore, but basically I do a lot of assessments. So that means I'm looking at the person, looking at the psyche, looking at the soul, looking at the chakras, to see where they're going. Mm-hmm. So I do quite a number of those. And occasionally I'll do a one-to-one if I feel that it is necessary for the spirit world, because my first concern is the spirit world, that they actually feel uplifted by being amongst us again and walking with us.
Let's talk about soul mediumship as opposed to just mediumship. I feel like it's taking it to a deeper level. Explain what that feels like to you.
Well, if you're using mind mediumship, as I call it, you will use claircognizance and clairvoyance. So in other words, you are not involved at all soul-wise with the spirit world. You're just following the thoughts that are dropping into the mind.
Got it.
And you're just following the flash of the picture that comes up. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that really doesn't give the satisfaction either to the spirit world or to the sitter. Only when the soul is, the power of the soul rises, where you allow the spirit world, the presence to be felt, that's where you start to get soul mediumship. Because then that interaction with the spirit world becomes stronger and more positive. But not only that, it should make a trinity. So the power that you have, you pass to the sitter, and then you pass to the spirit, and then it passes through you. So it's like a trinity, and I say it's from the point of light to the point of power, to the point of love. Mm-hmm. And that has to be a unity that flows constantly. Mm-hmm. And there you then have soul mediumship.
How do you not get tired or hurt from doing this work? Everybody has their way of protecting themselves. Do you just think spirit protects you? How do you protect yourself?
Oh, that's a tall one, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. How do I protect myself? I don't suppose I feel a need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel the need or the necessity to protect myself.
Okay.
Sometimes you can work with people that are quite draining, mm-hmm. but they will be the people here. And if you want to talk about protection, it's like stopping the people actually putting their depression on you.
Right.
So for me, it's like I just put colour in front of myself mm-hmm. and think, no, I've got to be able to feel this depression to help them, but I can't take it into me. So it's the colour, I would say, that stops that interaction from the impact on me. But I would never call it protection. You know, it's just such a beautiful world we live in mm-hmm. with beautiful people. And we've got too much of this this insular, mm-hmm. everybody afraid.
Well, there's
of
so
exploring.
Much violence and fear and all these chaotic yes. times that we live in. It's hard to get people into that space of love that you're talking about.
Yes, and yet look what's happening now all over the world. We have more people that are becoming spiritually aware, not religiously aware, mm-hmm. but spiritually aware. And they are going out on a limb to help people that are in floods, in fires, in mm-hmm. in these atrocities that are happening. And you've got to actually let your heart open and think, God, we have this spirituality on the earth at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to learn to expand it and enjoy it and magnify it rather than magnify
mm-hmm.
The horror and the negativity. We've got to somehow bring a change in there.
Is that some of the messages that come through? Is there a through line of messages that the spirits on the other side who have more access to the light than we do, what are some of the things they're trying to impart in the people that are sitting with you?
I feel that the peace on earth, goodwill towards man,
mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the main things, you know, that we can live in harmony here. Mm-hmm. We can be at peace. Yes, there'll always be controversy, always be problems. This is what this planet is about.
Mm-hmm.
But we as human beings actually can evolve our soul and our spirit to a greater degree
mm-hmm.
that helps us to face the challenges of those horrors and deal with them differently,
mm-hmm.
differently than in the past. And I see this, I see it a lot with people that actually never become mediums, but they're beautiful healers of the earth. They're beautiful animal healers. They're beautiful healers that mm-hmm. just want the planet to exist in a happy, harmonious way. And the more we can draw together those types of souls, then the better the power is on earth
mm-hmm.
and the more peace will come. So this is the information, really, that I believe the soul mediums are bringing forward to the earth. That love like life can never die. And we are still involved with the love of the past, but there is a love for the future that we've still to go for.
And they're walking right next to us. We just can't Absolutely. See that vibration. Well, you can, but the rest of us can't see that vibration.
But I only see it when I switch on, of course. I'm not looking at them all the time.
Right.
I remember someone saying to me once, I'm afraid to either be in your presence just in case you can read everything about me or the spirit world are going to tell you all about me. And I think, oh, God, no. Thank God I can switch it off.
That's right.
Yes.
And you have that ability. You're yeah. blessed because some yeah. people are still learning and they can't switch it off.
And
this brings up the children that mm-hmm. come into this world with that kind of heightened intuition and gift of seeing and mediumship mm-hmm. and soul mediumship, although they don't know how to control it yet. I was sharing with you that my son has shared some stories with me about being able to see his grandfather who passed before he was born. And now he says, oh, I was just making that up.
Mm-hmm.
And in your experience with seeing children who have had these gifts, what would you, if my son were sitting here, what would you tell him?
I would say, well done. I would say if you saw your grandfather, the purpose for it was for you to help your grandfather as much as your grandfather helped you.
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously wanted to communicate with his grandson. He must have had a need there to communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the more his grandson recognised that, then the more uplifted your father would have become.
Mm-hmm.
And more joy would have come to him because of his grandson. And then about 12, 11 or 12 years of age, that's when it starts to close down.
Mm-hmm.
And it will close down and possibly until he's 27, 37.
Okay.
And that's because he's got to live a natural life. So mm-hmm. he's got to go through the knocks and bangs and the challenges and, you know, the interaction, love affairs, marriages, births.
Wait, marriages? I was hoping he wouldn't follow in the family footsteps of multiple marriages.
Well, perhaps not. Perhaps not. I'm not giving him a message, I assure you, this afternoon. But it is. He has to live an ordinary life.
Yes.
So with children, the best thing parents can do is not actually shout at them or tell them that they're making it up or it's imagination, but just let them naturally talk to you mm-hmm. about what they're seeing
mm-hmm.
and it'll eventually, the soul will close. The soul is very much like a flower, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the flower, it opens to the sun
mm-hmm.
and then slowly it will close down. And then it'll open again the following day. Mediumship's a bit like that for children.
Mm-hmm.
It opens and it's glorious. And then it has the time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And for your son, I would imagine he's going through his rest period.
Mm-hmm.
And he's living his material life, which, of course, he has to do because that's why he's here.
Got it. And so for somebody who's listening right now, if they feel that they had quite a heightened intuition, but maybe they're going through their quiet period and maybe they're thinking they want to open it back up, what's an exercise that they can do while they're listening to this, what they're driving after they turn this off? What's a good tune in exercise for them to try to incorporate?
Well, first of all, just be aware that it isn't the conscious mind that can do this.
Mm-hmm.
The soul has to be ready.
Okay.
So they have to work out, first of all, is it my conscious mind that wants to do this or is it my awareness of my soul? For me, it's like an itch that you can't scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you've got to do beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what
yes,
I mean there?
Yes, yes, yes.
And if it is that kind of unfoldment that's happening from within their being, then I would say find a very, very good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to sit in the power. Learn to respond and respect yourself mediumistically, and then learn to respect the source and the power that you're using, which is the God source,
mm-hmm.
and then learn to respect the spirit world. So that, again, we're working with this trinity, this idea that we all come together because of this tremendous power that's within us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the mind.
You're so lucky that you're coming from the UK where this is so much more widely acceptable. I think with Arthur Findlay, that has a lot to do with it. And the fact that there's just so much more respect, I think, for psychics and mediums over there. Whereas over here, it's considered, taboo. A lot of people, you know, hang the Bible verses with it and say it's the devil's work. And they don't respect it in the way that I feel for hundreds of years. It's been more respected overseas. Would you agree with that?
And yet it started here.
And yet it started here.
Isn't it strange?
Oh, my goodness.
It is strange, but, you know, we've got our ordinary mediums. We've got our psychics mm-hmm. over there. It's not really that much different than over here, really. You have one or two that will perfect,
mm-hmm.
That will allow the soul to bring forward the tremendous knowledge and evidence. But then you'll get the others that will be ordinary housewives, ordinary people that just start to work in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the best mediums are never known.
Mm-hmm.
You know my name, but I could give you a lot of names, both from America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, where there'll be names you'll never know, but they're far better.
Mm.
And yet they're unknown.
They're unknown.
They're unknown. Mm-hmm. And yet are they the power
mm-hmm.
that actually brings peace on earth, goodwill towards men?
Amazing. And they're doing it because it's something, like you say, it's the itch they can't scratch, but they want to keep serving. And that's what I think a lot of, unfortunately, here in the States, we see the ego get overwhelmed. You know, everybody gets on a track of, I need a TV show, I need a book, I need this. Mm-hmm. My entire reason for doing these conversations is to expand consciousness and make this more of a regular topic instead of the other topic. This should be mainstream always. And I feel that it's happening. There's a swell starting to rise where people are just saying, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes.
They want more. They know there's more happening. Mm-hmm. The coincidences are happening. Mm-hmm. So much so, the signs from the other side. What are some of the ways that the spirits, I know this answer, but some of our listeners might not. What are some of the ways that they send us signs and signals?
Oh, they can do it in many ways. First of all, they can use telekinesis, which means that they can give you a feather.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Or you can have your lights flickering. They can attract your attention in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. But basically and simply, they will make a contact with you through your senses. Mm-hmm. So you will think, oh, my God, is that my imagination? Or did I feel this? And it's this battle between imagination and logic and mediumship all the time until you get established. This is why you really do need to get a good teacher and settle into a good pattern of understanding and understand the theory behind it because there is a theory behind it. And if you can actually find someone who will not try to force you into a direction of thinking, but will give you an opportunity to look at different attitudes and paths you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Because there are so many paths that you can unfold as you're going along.
Yeah.
And as long as you know that your soul is in agreement with what you're listening to, or what you're seeing, or what you're sensing, then you are going to walk forward in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you mentioned when it gets out of control, such as egotistical. Use that word once or twice, and I think that because you are doing something that very few people can do. And because they're stroking your ego all the time, telling you you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, if you're not careful, you can start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't last very long because usually there's something will happen and it will bring you down to earth. And there's a lovely saying in one of my fiction books that I love that Catherine Cookson wrote, and she says, God is a blind miller. He grinds us all exceedingly small, and then we become good food for other people.
That's it.
And I think that says it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. So for some of our youngsters that are seeing the potential for stardom, I feel that eventually they will mature beyond that and the awakening will come that isn't what it's about. It's about what you're doing. That's trying to make it quite normal for mediumistic children to grow up in freedom without them being criticized or counseled. Or, you know, in the past, I mean, they were put in
institutions, yeah, shock treatments.
They?
Yes, yes.
They had all kinds of nasty things happen to them.
Yes.
But even now, I work with some adults who have actually come up in a doctrine, and they're still a little bit tender and nervous about whether this is right or this is wrong.
And for you to explain to those who feel it's wrong, talking to the other side on a frequent basis where they're pretty much telling you it's not wrong, it's right and it's real, what would you say to them?
I would say just know that if the people that talked to you loved you when they were here, what has changed?
Right.
How could they have become evil or bad or wrong? If they loved you when they were here, that love has become magnified, not minimized.
What if they didn't love you when they were here, or they were mean, or they were evil? Oh. Do they have regrets? Do they come back with, I'm sorry?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They will have to go through the architect's plan again.
Okay.
So they will have to do their review.
That you believe in a life review where you see and feel everything you put
absolutely.
Out.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Everything you've done, it's compensation and retribution hereafter.
Got it.
For all the good and evil deeds done on earth. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you do have fathers and sisters and aunts and uncles that come back saying they're sorry. Mm-hmm. And usually the people here forgive them sooner than the people in the spirit world forgive themselves.
Mm.
It's strange.
Yeah.
They will be saying that for quite a long time before they learn to forgive themselves for what they've done.
Okay.
And that's because they're having to relive it, if you like, by looking at the video over and over again.
And feel
until they've made the change.
And then do you feel we have the right, or the choice, rather, I should say, to come back, be recycled, and take on the challenges again?
I think you have a choice. Mm-hmm. I think that the choices are there. Mm-hmm. That because there's eternal progress opened in the spirit world. So there are worlds within worlds over there. So we can still grow and we can still learn. And we still have personal responsibility once we're there.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, as we evolve in the world of the spirit, we are learning to understand what our personal responsibility is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to be the very best we can,
yes.
Open the soul and the spirit of ourselves to serve humanity and the spirit world.
Mm.
So we have the opportunity to do that in the other world, in the other worlds, I should have said there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need to come back here.
Right. You can do all that learning
absolutely.
Over there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For those who are feeling in sort of victim land, a lot of people that say, oh, well, I shouldn't have lost my child, or I shouldn't have had that car accident and lost use of my legs. Or are these things that we take on as, do you believe we sort of choose our life path and the challenges that we will face? I've heard some mediums describe it like we're picking our college courses before we take on this body, before we take on this where we pop up. And then we take on all these challenges, and because there is technically no, quote, death, even when something dies or someone dies or a part of us dies, it's all part of the lessons. Is that part of your belief system?
To a degree.
Okay.
But I think if you're talking about car accidents and you're talking about certain things, it's the choice. The conscious choice that somebody makes to be in that car on that road at that time.
It's not random chaos?
No.
Okay.
No, it'll be the conscious mind will have said, I'm going out, I've got to be there for 7:30, so I do have to speed, so I do have to be in the fast lane.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the soul might say, slow down, move over, if the conscious mind doesn't want to do, then it will go forward.
Mm.
So sometimes I feel that people will get an inspiration from an intuitive thought from deep within their being. And if they follow that, then perhaps that's part of their life plan too.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in the architect's plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that we are personally responsible at certain times of our lives to make choices.
I see.
Because that's our free will.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never remove that free will.
Right. Free will has really gotten in a lot of messes, hasn't it?
A lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And the conscious mind, of course, just seems to like us being in trouble.
Yeah.
It loves us being negative. Don't do that and don't do this.
It's a familiar vibration.
Know, where if you're listening to the soul will give you a positive thought, a positive way forward. It won't always be on the negative. It will look for the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Where the conscious mind's a bit crazy at times.
And right.
It wants you to do things. And meditation or going into the quiet and finding your way back with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because prayer has a lot. This God source, we know he's not a man sat on a throne.
Right.
We know he's a power. But it's a tremendous intelligence, actually, that keeps this whole universe moving.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can still go to that universal source and ask for that divine intervention in our lives and then know it's going to happen and allow our souls to work, then we should feel uplifted. We should have a more positive life experience.
When you do the galleries and you get the evidence so that people know that this is Uncle Hal or this is Aunt Jane, Do they also give psychic information? I've had some mediums that say there are some psychic messages that are occasionally, don't marry Joseph or whatever, or, you know, be careful when signing up for school. Is that something that helps sort of with the soul mediumship to help the sitter get the most out of the experience?
I'm not sure in the gallery. I think the galleries and the demonstrations should be about the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't like the dropping into the psyche.
Got it.
In a gallery reading, because I don't think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think if they're coming for a one-to-one, then you can't help but drop into the psyche. So I would estimate that a really good medium will do perhaps 40 minutes psychic and 60 minutes if they're doing an hour sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I only think you should work for half an hour, but I know they work longer over here.
Yeah, yeah.
So an hour sitting, I would say 60-40. And mm-hmm. I don't think that the medium can do anything about that, because mm-hmm. it's that influence that I talked about before of mm-hmm. the inpouring and the outpouring of the power.
Mm-hmm.
So it envelops the spirit and then it drops you down into the person and then back up to the spirit. So that's how it works with the one-to-one,
okay.
which I feel that those are the times. And, you know, I'm not bothered about people using the tools such as tarot cards, rune stones, angel cards.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that on the one-to-ones.
On the one-to-ones, exactly.
Because quite often when people come to you for a one-to-one, they are in desperate need either of the evidence of life after death or help with their decisions. But when I'm doing a one-to-one, I will always say this is my opinion
mm-hmm.
of what I'm seeing. It is still your responsibility what decision you make about this.
Do you think people get too dependent on mediums and psychics?
Oh, it's a problem, isn't it?
It yes, is.
It is.
Some will say, don't come to me more than twice a year. I can't, you know, you need to learn how to put one foot in front of the other and yeah. talk to them yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think once a year is enough to see a person, because it will always be in the subconscious.
Yes.
Because it's mental mediumship, so everything's retained within the mind and it drops into the subconscious. So mm-hmm. if you're seeing them two or three times a year, some of that in the subconscious will come back into the conscious mind and you'll know.
Yes.
And that is the difficulty, because you'll want to, you'll know that person wants you to guide mm-hmm. them through.
Yeah.
And that really shouldn't be what mediums are about. But, you know, we have very good psychics who are good at prediction. We have very good intuitive people on the earth
mm-hmm.
and that really, if you look at history, the past history,
mm-hmm.
they did do an awful lot of good, you know, and I don't decry them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the soul is open to fulfill the work that the God source wanted them to do while they were here.
But at the same token, don't you think that because of free will, the psychic job is very dangerous in a way?
Because absolutely.
We can just make a sharp left turn or pick up the phone and go to Jamaica just because we want to. And then all that stuff that was said that I know a psychic is seeing because they're seeing the momentum that would move forward, as it were, in the same vibration that they're sitting with the person, correct?
Mm.
But we can just put a stick in the bicycle spokes and fly over the handlebars.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the other problem you've got is that the psychic can read telepathy.
Yeah.
They're telepathic. So because of the telepathy, they can actually, if they're not careful, if they're not trained correctly,
mm-hmm.
what they will do is they will read the need within the mind of the person. That isn't the psyche. What the psyche is of soul. So it's a soul-to-soul link.
Mm-hmm.
So your soul and the sitter's soul merge together into the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you get the purity that comes through.
Right.
So it's not telepathy. Mm-hmm. It's not reading the auric field. It's actually this soul-to-soul bond.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won't know what's going on in the mind. Mm-hmm. You'll only listen and respond to what the soul is telling you. And the soul will say, the choice is yours.
Yes.
That's what will happen. The soul will never dictate to the conscious mind. It will always put the offer out, but the conscious mind has to make the decision.
Mm. Have you come across dark energies in your galleries?
No.
So nothing that is not in the light will come?
No.
Because you state that clearly ahead of time? Or?
No, because I don't believe in it.
Oh, tell me.
I don't believe in earthbound spirits.
Okay.
I don't believe in evil entities.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the intelligence of the spirit world is such that whoever goes to the spirit world will be gathered in. Mm-hmm. And if they have the potential to be an evil energy or a dark energy, they will be encompassed in light. Mm. And they won't be connected with this earth at all. But, you know, you can make a lot of money by saying you've got an evil energy around you.
Right. And for $5,000, we'll get that curse.
Absolutely.
And that's another thing people have to be responsible for. If somebody is dangling that kind of price tag for their work for you to be able to move forward in peace, you are being ripped off, everybody.
Absolutely.
Just, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But so what about all this photographic and digital evidence of hauntings and darkness and moans and creepy feelings? I mean, I've walked into places that have a terrible energy and you just think, what's happened in this place? I don't even want to know.
Now you've got to understand that. You're talking about something totally different.
Okay. So okay. You don't...
What you're talking about is that there has been in that home mm-hmm. or in that place, there has been some horror. Okay.
So it's left an imprint.
Impregnated into the walls. There's no person there.
Got it.
It is the memory that is impregnated.
Got it.
And that's all you're picking up. Okay.
Got it. You're picking up the imprint of that memory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And with the ghosts that you hear, that again is the imprint, okay? Mm-hmm. But it isn't a spirit. It is a ghost. So you can't communicate with
that. So you believe in ghosts?
Not really believe in ghosts, but I do believe that people see, if you like, the imagery mm-hmm. of someone that once lived on Earth.
And then what are they?
But you can't talk to them because they're not really there. It's
it's a trick of the eye?
No, it's a similar imprint.
Hmm.
You have sensed it when you moved into a home. Mm-hmm. People will clairvoyantly see it as an imprint and it will come up as if it's a person. But you can't communicate because there's no intelligence there. There's no soul there. There's no spirit there.
Have you ever had arguments with Ghostbusters about this? A lot of people make a lot of money saying that they're, you know,
absolutely.
Gotta clear it out. Here's
absolutely.
My sage.
Absolutely.
Here's my cross.
I've got friends who believe in it. Mm-hmm. And we choose not to discuss it.
It's sort of like politics over here.
It is. It is a little. It's a hot potato.
It is.
It is a hot potato. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you, but I can only speak my truth.
Right.
And everybody is entitled to their truth and their understanding. But if you look at evil spirits, it comes from old religions and
right.
old doctrines. And we should be moving on now with our understanding and our intelligence, mm-hmm. where in the past we used to such a lot of things took place that we now can say, because we have an understanding far greater, we can say, yes, that was right in the past, mm-hmm. but it's not right in the present, nor will it be right for the future. And I always say to people, when I've been in the spirit world 50 years, people are going to say, you know, Mavis, we did believe what you said and it was right for you, but now we're going forward thinking this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got to keep evolving.
Right.
We can't stop evolving and exploring and changing. We have to keep going. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, we'll suffocate and we'll have nothing. And once again, it'll become a dogma.
Right.
And we don't want dogmas anymore.
No, in fact, that's why I tell people we have to keep asking questions, because that's how we gather more evidence. Otherwise, we'd still think the world was flat or we'd be smoking on airplanes.
Absolutely.
So that is how we change over time. And,
yes.
and it has to keep happening, like you say, the momentum of the ball rolling down the hill. Otherwise, we just won't evolve.
We won't evolve.
How do people find you, Mavis?
How do people find me?
Yes. I mean, do you want to be a Facebook person? Do you want a website? What would you like the listeners to know if they want to reach out and see you and come to you for a workshop? What is your favorite way of reaching out to your adoring public?
Oh, well, I know that they can get to me on a website.
Mm-hmm. Is it your name? MavisPatila.com?
Yes, I think that's about right.
All right.
Okay.
So I gather you're not on your website all the time, are you, Mavis?
I'm not very technical. Uh-huh. When Steve Jobs died, I wanted him as my guide, but I couldn't get him because he wouldn't have me.
He wouldn't? He was too busy?
No, he said I wasn't highly evolved enough. In technology.
Well, let's find somebody else. He's got to have somebody who used him as a mentor.
Absolutely.
And they can help you. Maybe they're on this plane, Mavis.
Yes.
Not even in the spirit world.
Absolutely. I've got two there.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. I couldn't manage without them.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you to all of those who keep you going that got you here. I'm grateful for Thomas John for introducing us because it all happens through a connection, and you never know where that web is going to go and how those pieces are going to come together. And sometimes people come in our lives for just a minute, and sometimes they come in our lives for a lifetime. And I hope that this was more than a 45-minute exchange, because I would love to continue the conversation with you in the future. It was just such a pleasure to have you.
Can I say thank you for having me, and thank you for your questions, which were so sensible and so spiritual and so uplifting rather than what I normally get. So thank you very much.
Oh, what a treat. Thank you. That's the best compliment I've ever gotten. MavisBotilla.com, thank you for your insights. Everybody out there listening, please treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And stay spiritual, damn it. I'm Jennifer Weigel at JenWeigel.com, and we'll see you next time.